At this time of year, the thoughts of many British and American people go back to those who fell in combat during two world wars. In Britain, we have Remembrance Day, which is observed on the Sunday nearest to November the 11th. And in the United States, there is Veterans Day, which is actually on November the 11th. For 2 weeks leading up to the Remembrance Day Sunday in the United Kingdom, thousands of volunteers trudge around cities, villages and rural areas selling poppies, flower that has become the symbol of the British Legion's annual appeal. Flanders Fields may have been stained red with the blood of the fallen, but they also were red with the poppies that grew on the banks of the Marne, the Somme, and also at Passchendaele. These were scenes of some of the bitterest fighting during the war of 1914 to 1918. There were other battles, notably at Mons and Ypres. In the time that I have today, it is my intention to focus our thoughts not so much on the fallen, but on the God who delivered us, this nation, time and time again, because it is to God that we really owe our thanks for the deliverance of this land throughout the centuries. Apart from the carnage of war, there are some very startling stories that come out of some of these battles between 1914 and 1918. For instance, British and German soldiers swore that they saw an angel standing over Mons at the height of the battle fought there in 1914. There is also the story from July 1918 of the White Cavalry, which occurred in a sector from Ypres to Arras in northern France. The British troops were pretty much exhausted, having held that sector for some 3 months. They'd held that sector for 3 months without relief. On one side was a formation of Portuguese troops that held the line. The Germans had massed a large concentration of fresh but battle-hardened troops who had been brought over from the Eastern Front, and they were holding the line immediately in front of the Allies. Then began one of the heaviest artillery and machine gun bombardments of that sector for several months. The Portuguese suffered terrible losses and fell back, well actually they fled in complete disarray. The British troops saw a horrendous gap had been punched through their lines. And the German troops were then beginning to march through, well not march through, but to rush through in strength through that gap, and there was nothing before them. Instead of continuing the bombardment on the British lines, the Germans suddenly switched the bombardment to an open area of ground somewhat ahead of their advancing infantry. Yet none of the British soldiers saw any reason why that artillery barrage should have changed its target. They could see no reason why the high explosives, the shrapnel and the lead should have been placed on an area hundreds of yards to their left, sorry, to their right, instead of actually continuing to rain down on them. "Fritz has gone balmy," was the comment of a British sergeant to an intelligence officer. Then without warning, the Germans were in full flight, throwing down weapons, supplies and anything that impeded their stampede away from the battle area. A little later in that day, British troops began bringing in surrendered German soldiers. Under interrogation, German officers and enlisted ranks all gave a similar account of the day's happenings. The Germans had successfully held the Allied line, and they had begun to advance through that gap in strength with nothing before them until they were stopped by the White Cavalry. A German officer was reported as saying, "We saw the shells bursting amongst the horses and their riders, all of whom came forward at a quiet walk trot in parade ground formation, each man and horse in his exact place. Shortly afterwards, our machine guns opened a heavy fire, raking the advancing cavalry with a dense hail of lead. But they came quietly forward, Though the shells were bursting amongst them with intensified fury, not a single man or horse fell. Steadily they advanced, clear in the shining sunlight, and a few paces in front of them rode their leader, a fine figure of a man whose hair, like spun gold, shone in an aura round his bare head. By his side was a great sword, but his hands lay quietly holding the horse's reins as his huge white charger bore him proudly forward. In spite of the heavy shell and concentrated machine gun fire, the white cavalry advanced, remorseless as fate, like the incoming tide surging over a sandy beach. Then a great fear fell on me, and I turned to flee. Yes, I, an officer of the Prussian Guard, fled panic-stricken. Around me were hundreds of terrified men, whimpering like children, throwing away their arms and accoutrements in order not to have their movements impeded, all running. Their intense desire was to get away from that advancing white cavalry, but most of all from their awe-inspiring leader. In two world wars, the Anglo-Saxon peoples have witnessed some miraculous events. Indeed, time and time again, we have been delivered from almost total destruction. Remember the fallen, but our people have forgotten our God who delivered us. Throughout the history of our peoples, there are reports of events which have no rational physical explanation. The only possible reason for so many occurrences has to be supernatural. In Psalm 44, and we will turn there, Psalm 44, which is found paraphrased on page 34 of the hymnal, we are told that it is not by our power or strength why so many events turned out the way that they did. And that should be truly mind-boggling for all of us. Psalm 44, beginning in verse 1. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, what work you did in their days, in the times of old, how you did drive out the heathen with your hand and planted them, how you did afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But your right hand and your arm and the light of your countenance, because you had a favour unto them. You are my King, O God, command deliverance for Jacob. Through you we will push down our enemies. Through your name we will tread them under and them that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But you have saved us from our enemies, and have put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise your name for ever. Salah. In reality, this says it all. It isn't down to man, but do we as a nation praise his name forever? Also in Isaiah chapter 41, we turn there, God refers to the house of Jacob as a worm. We are in reality nothing. Our strength is nothing compared to the power of God, and it is God who delivers us victory or defeat. And in Isaiah chapter 41, beginning in verse 11, we read the following. Behold, this is addressing Israel, by the way. Behold, all they that were incensed against you shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contend with you, they that war against you, shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Eternal, your God, will hold your right hand, saying unto you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says the Eternal, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. By the middle of 1918, the British reserves were almost non-existent. The troops just about exhausted. In the months leading up to that fateful time, churches throughout the English-speaking world held special prayer sessions asking God to deliver the Allies until the American troops could be trained and brought across the Atlantic to relieve the hard-pressed troops of the Western Front. So many military historians have pursued the childish notion that God is on the side of the big battalions. Yet in July 1918, there was apparently nothing between the German infantry and the Channel coast and their ultimate victory. Only the white cavalry. Our people have forgotten the words that God inspired to be written in his word in the book of the prophet Zechariah. And we'll turn there to chapter 4 and verse 6. We read here the real cause of all this nation's victories. From the phantom bowman of Agincourt, to the angel of Mons, the white cavalry, the dead calm of the Dunkirk evacuations of 1940, the salt water of El Alamein that defeated Rommel's Africa Corps in 1942. Miracles almost without number, and our people have forgotten them all. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, we read the following. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, This is the word of the Eternal unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Yes, we should remember the fallen, the maimed physically and mentally, but we must also remember who gave our soldiers, our sailors, and our airmen the victory. It is God who has delivered us in two world wars and countless other encounters. We should remember that. We should teach our children and our children's children that. In closing, I would just like to add that the official reports say only that the attack on that sector between Ypres and Arras in 1918 was repulsed. However, I believe the story because the father of a friend was an intelligence officer during the First World War who interrogated numerous German prisoners who were convinced that angels at Mons forbade their advance until the British had been able to withdraw and who were scared witless in 1918 by a man with a large sword by his side who was riding on a huge white horse.